You guys ever seen that television show, Monk? How many of you ever seen that show? If you haven't seen it, it's about this detective. Solves crimes, you know, typical thing. But this guy's like an obsessive, compulsive perfectionist. And the actor that plays it just plays it in hilarious fashion. But I found that I'm a little monkish. It's a term I've coined. Is anybody here a little monkish? You know, you might not be clinical, but you're a little bit, you know, a place for everything and everything its place, and you like things to be done neat. We had this guy in one of our board meetings, and we had M&Ms, and of course you just dump some M&Ms on the table, and we're conducting a board meeting. Next thing we know, we notice this guy, he's got 5 blue ones, and then 5 green ones, and then 5 yellow ones. So the next board meeting, he was late, and before he got there, we put them all in a row, except we put one just a little crooked. We sat there and started our meeting and waited until we saw him put it in place. It only took about 5 minutes, but that's what I call being a little monkish. And I like to study the Scripture, and I like to be able to find out what it was originally meant to say, because I don't think we can understand what it says for us if we don't understand what it was originally meant to say. And so I like to study it, and I like to outline it. And of course, last time I threw all that aside and just kind of talked a little bit about my family history. Feels like I'm really, really loud. I don't know if it's that way out there or not. But you look at these Proverbs, and you read through a chapter of Proverbs, and it almost defies any attempt to try to put it in any kind of an outline system. It's nearly impossible. It's a huge challenge. Kind of like playing the Patriots. But I like a challenge. Last weekend we had a speaker come, a guest speaker come and speak to a leadership group at our church, and he called me a bulldog. I don't know if I'm going to have him back again or not, but it's wonderful that we're studying the Proverbs. There's so much wisdom in these words, and I think there is at least one Bible on most of your tables, and some of you also brought a Bible with you. I would encourage you to open up to Proverbs chapter 14, because we're going to be referring to several of these scriptures, but we're not going to actually be going through it verse by verse. We're going to be skipping and jumping around as I've tried to put them in some kind of an orderly fashion. And Dick just did an awesome job last week, didn't he? For those of you that were here, Dick just did a fantastic job. What he had to say was incredibly inspirational. It's what I call a word from the Lord. And I believe it was a word from the Lord for several of us. Today, I might be a little bit more instructional than inspirational. Might be a little bit more practical than powerful. And I hope that's not a bad thing. I hope we leave here today saying we got something that we could use, because we need to be both inspired and instructed. Now remember, the book is all about wisdom. Right away in verse 1 of chapter 14, it says, "A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands." I look around, I see no women here. This is not a women's meeting, so just throw that verse out and forget about it. We're not even going to touch it. Verse 2, though, looks to me to be the key verse of this chapter, and the key verse for what I want to share with you today. "Those who follow the right path fear the Lord. Those who take the wrong path despise Him." Those who follow the right path fear the Lord. Those who take the wrong path despise Him. This is a right path versus a wrong path kind of thing. Right path versus wrong path. It reminds me of what Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. He said, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it." The wisdom of God will put you on a path to power and to peace. I believe that's what Proverbs chapter 14 is telling us in all these verses. The wisdom of God will put you on a path to power and peace. But as we look through the verses right away, we see that there is a detour. There is a detour on this path to power and peace that Solomon warns us about. And the detour is pride. Look at verse 3. "A fool's talk, a fool's proud talk becomes a rod that beats him. But the words of the wise keep them safe. In other words, a big head will make you a big mouth and get you into big trouble. A big head will make you a big mouth and get you into big trouble. Pride will cause your mouth to get you into trouble. Trivia question. Who made these words famous? We will win, I guarantee it. Joe Namath, thank you. Super Bowl what? Super Bowl III. Who was in it? New York Jets versus Baltimore Colts. Who was the overwhelming favorite to win? Baltimore Colts. Joe Namath goes out there at the time, a young whippersnapper out of Alabama, says, we will win, I guarantee it. Now, it worked out pretty well for Joe. But how many times has it worked out since? Not very often. Usually some guy goes out there, shoots off his mouth, says, we will win, I guarantee it. It's in the opposing team's locker rooms, and they end up getting drowned. And the big mouth got the big head into trouble. Usually doesn't work out very well. Look at verses 5 through 7. An honest witness does not lie. A false witness breathes lies. A mocker seeks wisdom and never finds it. But knowledge comes easily to those with understanding. Stay away from fools. You won't find knowledge on their lips. So in these verses, Solomon is telling us that pride leads to lying. Pride leads to lying. You begin to think you can say anything and get away with it. You think you can tell anybody anything. Truth doesn't matter anymore. The outcome doesn't matter. Saving your own reputation is the only thing that matters. Because in your pride, you begin to make up anything that keeps you looking good. Pride causes you to forget that your lies will always be found out. Sooner or later, you might get away with it for a while, but sooner or later, you're going to have to lie again to cover the first lie, and then you're going to have to lie again, and eventually someone's going to catch you in a contradiction, and it's going to be bad, it's going to be awful, you're going to get into big trouble. Your pride has led to your lying, and your mouth has gotten you into trouble again. And pride also leads to mockery. Pride leads to mockery. You begin to look down your nose at others. You don't keep it to yourself, and you become open about it. You become a snob. And then you lose friends because nobody likes a snob. And besides, it's a sin. Look at verse 21. It is a sin to belittle one's neighbor. Blessed are those who help the poor. Verse 25. A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is a traitor. Who wants to be known as a traitor? Nobody wants to be identified that way. And then this pride and this mockery will keep you detoured onto the wrong path. Look at verse 9. Fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and seek reconciliation. Verse 13. Laughter can conceal a heavy heart, but when the laughter ends, the grief remains. In your pride, in your boasting, you develop a brash manner that tries to hide the fact that there's an emptiness in your heart, and there's an emptiness in your soul, there's an emptiness in your life, and people can see through that. And you're hurting inside, and you're putting on a huge front to try and cover it up. And sometimes the guilt that we feel is the loving conviction of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He wants us to move from the wrong path to the right path. So listen to wisdom. Lay aside your own pride. Realize that you can't make it. You can't do it by yourself. Get on the right path. Now, what about wealth and power? We said the wisdom of God will put you on a path to power and peace. We've dealt with the detour of pride. How many times a week do we hear the name Donald Trump? It's too many, yeah. I mean, it seems like he must have some kind of marketing machine. I mean, we hear the name all the time, but the name is associated with wealth, and wealth brings power. We're going to be talking a lot this year about the election for the President of the United States, and it takes a lot of money to get that position of power. I believe Solomon's telling us here in this chapter of Proverbs that the wisdom of God can lead to positions of power and authority. The wisdom of God can lead to positions of power and authority. Now, this is coming from Solomon, one of the most influential, one of the most wealthy, one of the most powerful kings of ancient times. Now, I don't want you to think of this in a negative sense. Sometimes we hear about, oh, the path to power, and it has a negative connotation to it because people have abused power. But I want you to think of this in terms of leadership and in terms of influence that God wants to give you. And think of wealth in terms of what you can do to help ministries grow and better people's lives, not just heaping wealth upon yourself. All right? So the road to great accomplishments gets messy. Look at verse 4. Without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. You want your stable to stay clean? You're not going to have any animals. You're not going to have any harvest. You're not going to get anything. If you want a harvest, if you want that, then you're going to have to get some animals, and the stable's going to get messy, and it's going to have to get cleaned out sometimes. I'm a pastor, and I've heard people say to me, if you're a shepherd, you got sheep, and that means you're going to be walking through sheep doo-doo. Comes with the territory. On the road to greatness, on the road to becoming a great influencer of people, you're going to have to deal with some messy situations. Teaching people who have a hard time learning. Helping people who don't want to be helped. Sometimes letting people go. You're fired. It's kind of like raising children. Things get messy sometimes raising children. You know, babies are cute, but they just snot on one end and poop on the other. I mean, it's a mess. And this is the way it is if you want to have positions of leadership and positions of authority. The road to that is messy sometimes and difficult. Expect it. Accept it. Deal with it. Realize it. Don't be shocked or surprised by it. Plan and prepare for it. By the way, have you got a plan? Verse 8. The prudent understand where they are going, but fools deceive themselves. You need a plan for your life. You need a plan for your work. You need a plan for your service for the Lord. As they say, plan your work and work your plan. And then Solomon says, living right leads to leadership roles. Living right leads to leadership roles. Verse 11, the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the godly will flourish. Are you living right? Are you living according to the teachings of the Bible? Are you trying to live by the principles that are being taught here from the Bible from week to week? I believe if you are, you're going to find yourself in positions of leadership and influence and authority being opened up to you because God wants to use you to be a blessing to others. Stay on your plan. Don't be distracted. Verses 15 and 16. Only simpletons believe everything they're told. The prudent carefully consider their steps. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Verses 19 and 20. Evil people will bow before good people. The wicked will bow at the gates of the godly. The poor are despised even by their neighbors, while the rich have many, quote, friends. So stay on your plan. Don't be distracted. And then Solomon also tells us on this road to leadership and influence, this path, that work is a good thing. Work is not a bad thing. Verse 23 and 24. Work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Wealth is a crown for the wise. The effort of fools yields only foolishness. Seen those commercials? I hate to say it. Beer commercials are sometimes the funniest commercials on television. Seen those commercials where they've got the coach, you know, and they've taken clips from past press conferences of the coaches and intermixed them with stupid questions from today. And there's one with Bill Parcells, and there's these kids out, you know, in the press corps, and they say, "Hey, coach, our girlfriends tell us we talk too much about football." And they've got this clip from some press conference and Parcells saying, "But that's a good thing, not a bad thing. Talk about football all the time." He said, "That's a good thing, not a bad thing." Listen, work is a good thing, not a bad thing. People complain about work, work, work. Hey, work is a good thing, not a bad thing. Did you know that Adam worked in the garden? Work was not part of the judgment of the fall. His work was going to be harder. it was going to be harder to get the results that he wanted. But before Adam ever disobeyed, before Adam ever sinned, God gave him a job to do, to work and keep up with that garden. And another thing Solomon says is, it's not all about you. Verse 31, those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but helping the poor honors him. When we live by God's wisdom and he gives us wealth and he puts us in positions of authority, it is to help people, not just to lavish it all upon ourselves and forget about others. So the wisdom of God will put you on a path to power and peace. There's a detour, and that's pride. But on this path, the wisdom of God will put you in positions of leadership and authority. And then ultimately, the wisdom of God leads to peace. And if you don't have peace, what else is worth it? What else is worth anything? I'm looking around here today, and I'm not going to mention anybody's names. I'm not going to call anybody out. But there are several people here today. Several people here today. And many of us can look around and we know these individuals. We know them in our community. We know them from Huddle. Some here go to the same church as others. And some here work in the same businesses as others. And we know that there's a lot of people here today who have positions of leadership and authority in our community. And there's a lot of pressure. And there's a lot of difficulty. And there's a lot of stress. And there's a lot of strain. And there's a lot of conflict that several people in this room have to deal with on a regular basis. But you know that you can have peace in the midst of all of that. In the midst of all the confusion, in the midst of all the mess, in the midst of all the turmoil, in the midst of all the conflict, in the midst of all the arguing that goes on in your day-to-day life, there can still be a sense of peace when you're on the right path. And if you don't have that, nothing else is worth anything. Verse 10, each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can fully share its joy. Verse 12, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Verse 14, backsliders get what they deserve. Good people receive their reward. What path are you on? Are you on the path of wisdom? Are you living your life, planning your life, every part of your life, private, public, work life, home life, are you planning it all according to God's wisdom? That's not just a path to success, it's a path to peace. And Solomon mentions the backslider. Somewhere along the way, did your path get slippery? Do you know today that maybe you're not where you should be? Do you have, instead of peace in your life, do you have a lot of anger? Verse 17, short-tempered people do foolish things, and schemers are hated. Verse 29, people with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. I won't ask for a show of hands of how many men in this room have an anger problem, because I wouldn't want anybody to keep your hand down and be a liar. 20 years or so of pastoral marriage counseling, I've learned one thing. I've learned that you never believe the first story you hear, because there's always two sides to the story. And I've also learned that in almost every problem, even though there's two sides to the story and there's a lot of factors of the problem, almost every time there's a man with an anger problem. It's just something about us. Now, if you're one of these and you say, Pastor Randy, I'm really not that way, God bless you, hallelujah, come lay your hands on me and pray for me after this is over. But you can have peace instead of anger following the wisdom of God on this path. The right plan leads to peace. Verse 22, if you plan to do evil, you'll be lost. If you plan to do good, you'll receive unfailing love and faithfulness. On the right hand, you're going to have peace for yourself as well as security for your children. I think all of us who are dads want that. Look at verses 26 and 27. Those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a refuge for their children. Fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain. It offers escape from the snares of death. Verse 32, the wicked are crushed by disaster, but the godly have a refuge when they die. And what we're talking about today is also a health plan. Verse 30, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Good verse for the YMCA. I expect to see that on a sign somewhere here by next week. Verse 30, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. And Solomon wraps up with some final thoughts, verses 33 and 34. Wisdom is enshrined in an understanding heart. Wisdom is not found among fools. Godliness makes a nation great, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Bottom line is, this applies to everybody. When the Bible says something is true, it's true for everybody. Living by these principles can change your life. Living by these principles can change your family. Living by these principles can change our community. Living by these principles can change our nation. The wisdom of God will put you on a pathway to power and peace. There's a detour, and that's pride. But the wisdom of God can lead you to positions of power and authority, and ultimately it'll lead you to peace in your life. Father, I thank you for your word today, and I thank you for the wisdom of the Proverbs that we are studying. I pray for these men here today, Lord, if there are pride issues, I pray that they would be recognized, and even in the course of conversation around the table, I pray that pride would be dealt with. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to understand your wisdom and follow your wisdom and live by your wisdom so that we can have the leadership and the authority in our homes and in our community that you want us to have. Lord, there are those here today whom you have already blessed with positions of leadership and authority. And I know that at times that responsibility weighs heavy. And I know at times it can be very difficult. But Lord, I pray that you would help them to lead with your wisdom and exercise that authority with your wisdom. And Lord, I pray that you would give us peace as we follow your plan for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.